So I'm just getting on here to talk about Valentine's Day. I had a post of my Valentine's Day because I thought it was a happy day. I had finally saw Rainbow and I asked her to go on a hike with me because I knew this would be our last Valentine's Day together. And she agreed and she came with me. I also wanted to make sure that I was not part of a double date because she is now seeing Jesse. So I asked her that because had I been part of a double date, I wouldn't have wanted no part of it. I know I can't control what people do once they leave me, but I can control what I want to be a part of. So I was told that no, it was just our day together. So we went on this long, strenuous hike. And it was difficult, but it was enjoyable. And it was happy. And the focus was just totally on the hike. So I enjoyed that part of it. And then after, I actually made a lunch. And just spent a little bit of money that I had, you know, on a gift. The gift hadn't arrived on time, so I was not able to give it to her. And I made a lunch for us. I'm just was trying to be thoughtful because I knew that this is it. There was no more after this. And that's what I did. So we went on the hike and we had lunch. And I invited her to go out to dinner. So I took her out to dinner and I took a break and went to the car to go retrieve something. And that's when she reached out to Jesse and sent him a text. So, you know, when I get back, she didn't mention anything about it. You know, we just continued. And then I just felt like I was being rushed to go home. So then that's how it ended. I was taken home. But on the drive home, he responded to her. And I saw his picture and his number. And I was saddened by it because it just felt disrespectful. And I just feel like the disrespect won't stop because it's just something I would never do to anyone. You know, I created the day so it could just be a total focus on the last Valentine's Day. And just to have a happy hike. But it didn't end up that way. And she turned it into something else. And she brought someone into that day who she knew that it would hurt me. Because why would you do it when I leave? Why would you send the text? If it was that open and honest, why wouldn't you do it while I'm there? And just say, hey, listen, I'm just going to text Jesse to make sure that everything's okay. If you want everyone to be cordial, then that's how you deal with it. You always respect the people you're with and respect the people that you have a future with. But when you're hiding and you're sneaky and you do things behind someone's back, then of course they're going to feel a certain way about it. And of course you are doing it behind their back. Because you know somewhere inside of you that it's wrong. So when I found out about that, that's when everything went bad. I found out when the text was sent. And it wasn't bad when I saw his response. I just dealt with it and held it in. But then as I thought about it, when she left and how, you know, our day had ended, and I wasn't expecting it to end any other way. I just knew that it was being rushed. So as I thought about that and knew that I would never treat someone this way, I was upset for how I was treated. So after she left, I expressed those thoughts, you know, and I was angry and upset because I felt it was disrespectful. This is what I've been dealing with the entire time. Just a complete and total disrespect for me. And I dealt with it for a long time, a lot of years. And I think it's because I always was asking for counseling. I always wanted things to get better. I wanted to fix things. But when it got to the point where it wasn't able to be fixed, I was still there, which is something I did to hurt myself and something I should have never done to myself. You know, she says that we have been separated for 2 years. We were actually separated. We were living apart for 2 years, yes. But our separation didn't come until July 4th weekend. That is the day. July 4th of last year was the day I knew that it was over. Because we were out in San Diego. There was a huge fight. The boys were super disrespectful to me. I had to protect myself with my cane. And they left. And me and Shyla were left in San Diego for another day while they drove home. And I had to use my plane ticket to get me and Shyla home. A plane ticket that I wanted to use to go to Atlanta. So after that day, I knew it was over. And the next day, I packed all of my things, put them in the car, and drove away. I wasn't supposed to drive because they had taken my license after my stroke, but I had to. And I drove away and never looked back. That was the day that I knew 1,000% that our marriage, our friendship, whatever relationship we had, my relationship with the kids, I knew it was over on that day. So this Valentine's Day, I knew it would be our last. And I wasn't feeling good for a few days. And I just wanted to do something fun and happy. And it turned into something else. It turned into something that was not happy. You know, like I said, I understand people will move on because someday I'll move on. But it's just something that, because it's so brand new, is something I would have never flaunted in anyone else's face. Because I had just gone through a stroke, it's something I would never do. Because I was still married, I would never break our vows. So, you know, this happened to me on Valentine's Day, and I archived the post in my Facebook, and I archived it in my Instagram so it doesn't stay in my feed and it only pops up once a year, because this is something I don't need a constant reminder of. I don't need for anyone to constantly, you know, tell me their comments in regards to how great she is, because I don't feel so great. And I just know that I would never treat anyone the way she has treated me. And every time I turn around, there's always something that's being done to hurt me and to get revenge. And I know it's because of everything that I put in my divorce paperwork. I documented everything. Every bad thing that was done to me, every bad thing that the kids did to each other, every bad thing that I did to the kids, and every bad thing that I did to Rainbow. And I must reiterate that, yeah, I've said a lot of hurtful things, but I never once put my hands on anyone or physically abused them. Yeah, I've gotten physical where I grabbed someone and said, hey, you need to stop. But I've never hit anyone. I've never hit Rainbow. I've never done any of those things. So I just want that to be known, because I have been accused of those things. And that's the only reason why I'm saying it. So this is how my Valentine's Day went. It doesn't seem like things are getting better. Things are going back to being bad. And I think I need to stay in this spot. Not feeling bad, but knowing that things will never get better. So I can stop trying. I don't have to have a friendship with my soon-to-be ex-wife. I don't have to have that. A lot of people don't. Some people are capable. But when you have someone who constantly wants to get revenge on you, then it's impossible. It's never going to happen. So I must, and every being, every part of my body has to let go and know that it's never going to get better. It's always going to be bad, and it's over. And that's what I have to accept, that it's over and no more trying. I have to totally focus on me. I have to get better. I have to focus on my book. I have to focus on my rehabilitation, and let that be my only focus. So I'm just going to keep praying and keep asking God for forgiveness, because I know I have done things in the past that is not right. But I'm trying to mend those things, and I'm trying to ask forgiveness, and I'm trying to forgive myself, and I'm trying to move on. But it's impossible when you have someone who is so angry with you that every time they find a way to get a chance to hurt you, they do that. And this is what she is doing to me. And this is the reason why this must end. And no more posts about, oh, we tried to have a great day. No more. Because, like I said, when someone has revenge in their heart for you, it's never going to go away. And I may have a little revenge in my heart as well, because of how wronged I was done, because I was cheated on during my marriage, and because I was abandoned when I had my stroke. So I need to let go, because the revenge is going both ways and it has to stop. So no more. I have to stop talking about it. And I have to stop talking to her. I can talk about it on my podcast, but no more communication with her. It's done. It has to be done, because it's not making me better. It's actually hurting my recovery, because I notice that my blood pressure gets worse. I notice I don't feel good. I notice I don't do all the things that I'm focused on doing. I lose focus. So it has to end. And this is the day that it ends. Because I need me. I need to focus on me. So I'm just reflecting on my last podcast and trying to figure out why I feel the way I feel, because that's the only way I'm going to be able to resolve this within my own mind, not trying to resolve it with anyone. I feel this way because, like most of us have, is abandonment issues. And for me, that was pretty evident as a child. As a child, I was abandoned by my mother and my father. My father didn't want to have anything to do with me. My mother was just very young, and she wasn't ready to take care of a child. So I was taken care of by my grandparents.
and they raised me up until I was 12. So I have a huge sense of abandonment from my mother. And that's one of the reasons why I feel this way. Another reason why I feel this way is because the same way she started the relationship with me by being married and, you know, her starting a relationship with me was the reason for the divorce, besides all the other stuff that was going on, because there was a lot of abuse. But I came in the same way this new person is coming in at the end of it. And I picked up all the pieces. I'm the one who dealt with him because he was such a violent guy. And I dealt with all the paperwork for the divorce. And I dealt with him getting out of the state of Maryland. I dealt with all of that. I'm the one who gave him the money to leave and to go to Florida with his daughter. And it was like the last money I had because I had just quit my job abruptly. I was, you know, on the verge of promoting to lieutenant, and I quit my job and gave up my entire life for her. I gave up my life. I gave up friends, and I moved. I left Tucson and went straight to Maryland. So I think the fact that, you know, she's doing the same thing all over again, and I'm the person it's happening to, not the person who's helping, is the reason why I feel the way I do. I was sitting also thinking about the fact that she's starting a new relationship with a man. And I was wondering if that was bothering me. And I think that the one thing that bothers me about that is my ego, and only my ego. Because her and I have really never been, you know, a team, a marriage. You know, it was always, you know, me against them. We were never a team. And she and I spent more time being in a relationship as roommates than we did as a married couple. All the stuff you would see on Facebook and on Instagram, that was all a lie. Anytime there was a picture to smile, we would take the picture. The only time we were really happy was in Maryland. That was the only time. After Maryland, we went to New Mexico, and that's when everything fell apart. Because that's when I had the first feeling that she was cheating on me. And it happened during the rupture of my two aneurysms. Because I was working such long hours to try to get a down payment on a house. And also because it was mandatory. I didn't want to go into work in the corrections once I left. But I was kept being pressured to go into corrections to increase my wages, because at the time, and because I don't have a college degree, so I'm never really paid enough money, and corrections was the only way we'd be able to get that money fast, because the overtime was so high that, you know, some corrections officers were making the six digits in 1 year. And, you know, so I was making quick money. And so that's the reason why I got into corrections, so I could get the house. So, like I said, when we left Maryland and went to New Mexico, that's when everything started to go bad. That's when I first had my first idea that she was cheating on me. That's when I first, you know, I had to deal with my two aneurysms ruptured. And I was home alone for most of the time because I had to take care of myself, because she had to go to work. You know, we had people coming in and out, you know, dropping off food. But the everyday stuff was me. It was me. I was still taking the kids to school. And I was still taking them to, it was actually not, Ezekiel, the oldest, was able to get on the bus, but Shaolin Haven, I actually had to take them to school, if I remember. or take Shiloh to daycare. And Haven got on the bus too. So I'm still doing stuff and taking care of myself and getting better. But that's when everything like went bad. So I gave up everything to go be with her. And I was able to get rid of the person out of her life who was being a super abusive. And I stepped in. And I think that the fact that the same thing is happening to me, that happened to him, is the reason why I'm so mad. Because I had given up so much more. You know, he was extremely abusive to the kids, to her. And he wasn't working. She was always making the money. But for me, it wasn't like that. I had my own. I had all of my own. And I gave it all up to go be with her. And then I got into corrections and I had my aneurysms. So to be treated that way, to be treated as the same, in the same category as him, is very hurtful, because I wasn't the same person. So I think that's the reason why I'm so mad. And like I said, Rainbow and I have been roommates for a very long time. And if you know anything about same-sex relationships, which, especially with two women, that happens a lot, where they just become roommates and friends. And for me and Rainbow, that happened very soon in our relationship. So regardless if she's dating Jesse or not, I was still fighting for the same thing. I'm still fighting for respect. And I'm still being disrespected. And that's the reason why I'm so mad. So for someone like myself to give up so much and to sacrifice so much and to almost die on two occasions and to still be treated like this is hurtful. To also deal with abandonment issues and the fact that she abandoned me when I had my stroke, because like I said, I didn't know that this was over. You know, I was tricked into this apartment because I was always told, get your apartment downtown and then we'll still be together. And, you know, once the kids are gone and off to school, we'll both find a place downtown and we'll start our lives from there. So that's what I always believed. And I believed that until July 4th. Of last year, and that was after my stroke. That's when I knew everything was over. On that weekend, I knew it was all over. So, you know, for me to still be nice after all of this, and trust me, there are some times when I'm not nice because, you know, whatever I say comes out of my mouth, not only do I mean it, but I don't pull any punches because I'm hurt. And hurt people hurt. So I'm not sitting here saying I'm an angel. I'm just saying that I don't deserve this kind of treatment. Because, you know, especially, you know, on Valentine's Day, when I use, because I don't have a lot of food, I don't have a lot of money. And for me to use the last of what I had to try to accommodate her, and then for her to do what she did, it's pretty much a slap in the face. So that's the reason why I feel hurt. That's the reason why I feel anger. Because I did all these things just to be treated like crap. You know, if I was talking to someone, I can put them aside for 3 hours just so I can give my full attention to the person I'm with and don't disrespect them. So that wasn't the case for me. And that's the reason why I was so angry. And that's the reason why I feel betrayed. That's the reason why I'm still angry. And that's the reason why I'm like going all out, because when it comes to this divorce, because I can't be nice anymore. I tried to be nice during this divorce, but you know, every time I take two steps to be nice, something happens and I'm being treated like crap. And I take two steps back. But there's no backwards now. My paperwork has already been submitted. So it's not like I can go in and say, oh, let me ask for more of this, let me ask for more of that. No, I can't. I only ask for what I feel I deserve. I didn't go crazy. I mean, I could have. I could have went for retirement. I could have went for the house. I could have went for a lot of things, but I didn't do that because I don't want it. I want to recover, and I want to take care of myself. I want to be on my own, and I want to be financially independent. So none of those things include anyone except me. So, I mean, the reason why I came on here is because I was in the shower and reflecting. It was like, Des, why are you so mad? And I had to figure it out. I'm so mad because I don't deserve to be treated this way. I gave up a lot. I sacrificed a lot. And I should not be treated the same way that someone who was extremely abusive to all of them is being treated. And that's why I'm angry. I say things that when I'm angry, I say things that are extremely hurtful. A lot of us do. But my actions and what I do is totally different. You know, I always made sure that they were taken care of. Even when I had moved out, when the trick was let out the bag, when it was like, nope, this is not an apartment for us in the future. You know, when I was getting the inclination that it was the apartment to get me out, I still went back and took the kids to school for 3 semesters. I still helped in every single way that I could. I still was there. I still had my money from my work go into her account, so she had access to my money. So I just feel like I should not be treated the same way as people who have done more harmful and hurtful things are treated. And I don't know why this is happening to me. That's something that you're gonna have to ask her. And I'm sure she has her reasons for doing what she does, but I don't think it's right. So this is the reason why I feel the way I feel. This is the reason why I know I will never, ever go back to her. Because not just what I explained, there's been many times that I always felt like I was being cheated on. And for anyone who's out there cheating on someone, just tell the person. You know, so don't have to go crazy. So don't have to lose their mind wondering. Just be upfront. You know, if you're bold enough to do it, be bold enough to say it and to speak it. And I think that if I had confirmation of what I always thought, I would feel a lot better. But I don't get that. All I get is a facade. All I get is the entire 12 years, that 13 years almost that we've been living. Facebook has been a facade. Instagram has been a facade. You know, people, when we go out and see them and they see us laughing and joking and smiling, that's all been a facade. Our wedding was a facade. No one in my family came to my wedding. No one. I think they all knew. Because even before my wedding, I was talking about not getting married. I told my family that I don't think I should do this. And I wish I would have listened to my gut. I called the entire wedding party and I told them the wedding is off. I told each and every one of them the wedding is off. And I still got married. So all of this is happening because it's my fault. It's my fault. I made the decisions. I made the decision to go on a hike for Valentine's Day, thinking it would be something, thinking it would be like the last day where we can just be nice to each other and say goodbye and move on. But nope. You know, I've been this way for a long time. And, you know, it still hasn't worked. And it didn't work 2 days ago. So it's not going to work again. So these are all the reasons why I'm angry and I'm upset. You know, I don't feel like I deserve this. I feel like I've given more, I deserve more, and I shouldn't be treated this way. I've been abandoned. You know, I've been abandoned after I had my stroke. I was always told that I would be taken care of, that they'd be there for me. But nope, I do all of this on my own. You know, I'm just praying that I get better so I can just get my financial freedom and I can say, all I need is God and me. So It's just a process, and I'm hoping, I pray today that I don't have to think about this anymore. But it's very difficult to erase 12 years from your memory, from your heart, from your spirit. It's hard to erase those years, especially when you're going through a divorce by yourself, and especially when you've been abandoned again. It's my process to go through. I'll get through it. God will see me through it and take me to the other side. And I'm just praying for that day to come sooner than later. But I'll survive. I'll get through it. And my heart is going to heal. So it just is what it is. And it's what I have to deal with. So I'm blessed to be alive. And I'm happy to be alive. And I'll make it through.